This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominating right circle, Suzuki. Low now to Demidov. Side of the net, in front. One-timer from Suzuki, knocked down and kept to the outside. Demidov continues. 1:38 left, and a glove save made by Logan Thompson. The shot from Suzuki, a one-timer from one knee, and Thompson says, I got this. 1:36 left. It's still 3-1 Washington.
John Walton, at the end of last night's game, when they pulled the goaltender, there was a lot of pressure on Logan Thompson. He held up. They got an empty netter at the end. They won the game 4-1. Listen to this. Logan Thompson, 28 stops on 29 shots faced per Money Puck. All right, Money Puck, a stat hockey service. He saved 2.99 more goals than expected. That is elite. He was outstanding during the series, and he got hurt during the series. A big series from him. Certainly a big series from Alex Ovechkin, who ended up with 4 goals. Dylan Strom had another 2 points last night, assisting on Ovechkin's goal and Tom Wilson's goal that made it 3-0. Strom now with 9 points in the postseason, ties him for second most in the league. The only players ahead of him are Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Adrian Kempe, all involved in the Edmonton LA Kings series. Of course, Ovechkin's 4 goals right now, really good, not tops in the league through the postseason so far. Some of these teams have played 6 games, Washington just 5, but he's second in goals scored in the postseason. And last night's goal, his 76th career playoff goal, tying him with Mario Lemieux for 12th on the all-time list. You would certainly think, if the Caps hadn't lost as many times as they did early in the postseason, first round or second, that he'd be much higher up on the all-time playoff goal list. Still has some time to go, including several games in this series. Washington, with their first ever win over Montreal in the postseason, only the second time they ever faced Montreal. That first time was that Yaroslav Halak series back in 2010, when the Caps were the President's Trophy winning team. And they've never beaten Carolina in the postseason either. However, they've only played Carolina once as well heading into this series. So maybe two sort of revenge series back-to-back. They lost to Carolina in a 7th and deciding game at home in 2019 as the defending Stanley Cup champs. You know, one other thing to mention about the game that we have not mentioned on the show yet today: Alexei Protas made his postseason debut. He was on the ice for close to 17 minutes. No goals, no assists. Just reading some of the stuff from the post-game thoughts from many of the hockey people out there. They thought he looked a little bit, you know, rusty, but still good to have him back. Big win for Washington. First series win since 2018. Game one against Carolina comes Monday night against at Capital One Arena. Caps with home ice advantage, but they are the underdog in the series.
That fourth line, by the way, they were given, because Carbs was matching them up against Montreal's top line with Slavkovsky, Suzuki, and Gallagher and all them. They shut him down. Like, they just
Alexei
stymied
Protas
him.
Is on that fourth line, right?
He was last night, yes.
Yeah.
And they just...
What line is he usually on?
First, top Ovi, line? He's usually... Ovi, Strom, Protas has been a line throughout most of the season that has been really successful. Protas gives him a lot of size. Strom and Ovi... Strom is just Nick Backstrom reincarnated. And Ovi's Ovi. So that line has been performing very well throughout most of the season. And with that injury coming back, he's starting to work in, but that size and the defense that fourth line played last night just shut him down.
The guy that I actually am very impressed with, and I'm only watching pretty much for the first time, although I did see him in one of the games in which Ovi was chasing down Gretzky. I think I saw the first game, his debut after, you know, having a great season at Boston College. But Ryan Leonard, man, is awesome. Fast and energetic. And to me, it looks like it's only a matter of time. I think the only goal he had was an empty netter.
Yes, correct.
You're right.
The same night Ovi tied Gretzky, yeah.
Exactly. But he looks like he's going to score a goal or two coming up.
He almost had one last night, man. He was driving to the net, just driving hard, couldn't get the puck through, and then just tripped right over the leg of Dobesh. Did his Bobby Orr impression. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, they seems like it's a good team and a hell of a series coming up. Wyshynski, who was on with us earlier from ESPN, you can listen to that when the show is over at theteam980.com or by downloading the Odyssey app. He likes Washington in the next series, but he really likes Florida to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, like we talked about at the Open, I think in many ways, the expectations for this season have already been overcome. That doesn't mean that once you get to the postseason, it feels like icing on the cake. But I'll tell you this, the getting by the first round, I think, was huge. When I had Ted on recently, and I've had him on twice in the last three or four months, in talking about sort of the length of time that it had been since the Stanley Cup, you know, you could sense that he understood that a first-round loss would not look good for anybody. And I think getting through Montreal is a heavy favorite to get through Montreal. And a Montreal team that was up for the fight, they just weren't as good, is a big relief. And now maybe they can play with a little bit of, you know, the feeling of there's not much to lose now. You know, they want to advance and continue to move on. Remember, the series for them in 2018 was the Pittsburgh series. Getting by Pittsburgh was the 10,000-pound gorilla on their back. And getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time, out of the second round for the first time during the OV era. They did that, and the Tampa series felt like, okay, whatever happens, happens. I'm not suggesting the players felt that way. But this is a series that they're an underdog in, and they didn't crap the bed in this postseason by getting through the first round. And by getting through the first round in just five games. You know, this was not a sweat it series, really, at any point. I mean, I can't tell you much about Carolina and the Caps heading into it, but we will have plenty of people on between now and Monday that will be able to tell you more, including Max.
They're young and they're fast. That's what I can tell you.
All right. All right, so yesterday, or really 2 days ago, was the beginning of kind of the post-draft, let's look ahead to 2025 power rankings season. I had already mentioned, I think, on Monday's show that Washington's over-under in a lot of places actually dropped after the draft. It was either 9.5 or 10.5, depending on where you looked. But in the spots that it was 10.5, it actually dropped to 9.5 after the draft. I would suggest that it's because they only had five picks, and Philadelphia had many more, and Washington didn't get their number one need or perceived need by the outside, that being a pass rusher or an edge-setting, run-stopping defensive end. And so, you know, the number dropped from 10.5 to 9.5. It'll still be the largest over-under win total number entering a season for this football team since 2000. They had a 10.5 win total that year and were a legitimate preseason Super Bowl pick behind the St. Louis Rams, who had won the Super Bowl the year before. St. Louis was actually the favorite to go to the Super Bowl that year. And Washington was like the third favorite to go to the Super Bowl that year and win the Super Bowl. But their over-under on wins was 10.5. This 9.5 will be the most heading into a season since 2000. And look, it's obvious. The expectations for the first time since we've been talking together over all of these years is the expectations are the highest they've been. I mean, you got to go back to 2000. The expectations were not super high entering 2006. I mean, they were higher because they had gone to the playoffs the year before. Joe Gibbs was entering his third year. Remember, they hired Al Saunders before that season in 2006 with his 300-play playbook, page playbook. But they still weren't anywhere near 9.5 or 10.5 wins. Wasn't that way coming off 2012 because of the injury to RG3. There was not a lot of confidence in this team coming off 2015's division title or 2020's division title, obviously, because they had won that division with a losing record. The expectations heading into this season are the highest they've been in a long, long time, even though the total did drop. So the power rankings are starting to come out. You know, the post-draft, still all too early and way too early, power rankings. So CBS Sports had Philly 1, Kansas City 2, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, the Bills 3 and the Lions 4. The Bills were in the AFC Championship game. The Lions were not. Washington was. Baltimore 5, and then Washington. Clearly the highest spot they've been in before a season started in the, what I would call the power rankings era. I don't even know when it began, but I would guess 15 years ago, something like that. That was CBS Sports. USA Today had Philly 1, had Baltimore 2, and then they actually valued a team that I've talked about a little bit since the season ended and since this team added Devontae Adams in particular. I thought the Rams were being shorted a bit too much by people who were doing all too early power rankings or even the odds makers. But USA Today had the Rams as the third best team in the NFL. I actually think the Rams look really good heading into 25. A really potentially very good football team. Kansas City's 4, Buffalo is 5, and Washington 6. So in two of the, you know, post-draft power rankings, Washington comes in at 6 on both lists. Now, how high did they get to last year? Did they get to 5, maybe, you know, late in the season, in the regular season? I don't think they got to top 5. I don't think they did. The way I would view the NFC right now is I would certainly make Philadelphia, if I were an odds maker, I would make Philadelphia the favorite. And understanding that, you know, their defense has changed. I don't know if it's going to be any worse. I'm not necessarily suggesting it'll be any worse, but it's changed. They lost some players, and they added some players. And, oh, by the way, they drafted in their first 5 picks defensive players. But I would make Philadelphia the favorite. I would then have a really close call between Detroit, Washington, and the Rams. I think the Rams look really good on paper heading into the season. I think they've got a chance to be a very good football team. You know, the key was they didn't make a change at quarterback. You know, there was the possibility that they weren't going to work out a deal with Matthew Stafford. How would that actually play out? But to add Devontae Adams, basically replacing Cooper Kupp, and Devontae Adams can still play and was still playing at a high level with Aaron Rodgers at the end of last year. To have him and Puka Nacua and Stafford and Kyron Williams, pretty good offensive line. They kept, remember, Alaric Jackson, re-signed him. And then that defense is young and nasty. I mean, you've got Jared Verse, you've got Braden Fisk. You've got, Witherspoon, you got a Cam Curl who played pretty well for them last year. I think the Rams are well coached. I think they've got the talent, and the key is just Matt Stafford staying upright and healthy. I actually think Philly should be the favorite. And I think that Washington, the Rams, and Detroit, you can put them in any order. should come next in the NFC. I think based on their regular season last year, but remember, they lost both coordinators. Both coordinators are gone in Detroit. But they're still, they should be, a lethal offensive team. And Aiden Hutchinson, we'll see what he looks like when he comes back. I like the Rams a lot on paper. The 49ers, a lot of people have odds makers wise right there with Detroit and Washington and the Rams. And a lot of people like the Packers heading into the season. I think Tampa's a little bit underrated in the NFC heading into the year. You know, they were right there with Washington with a chance to go on and play in the next round as well. I think Tampa's well coached. Baker Mayfield gets another new offensive coordinator after losing Liam Cohn to Jacksonville. But they've got talent. They added a receiver in the first round. I think that was a surprise for some people. You know, Godwin, Evans, and now Igbuka, who they added in the first round. They also added the guy from Oregon, Tez Johnson, in the draft as well. In free agency, a good defense, you know, added Hassan Reddick. The NFC is better than the AFC. The NFC is deeper than the NFC. You know, I don't know if we thought that going into the season last year. Philly, Washington, the entirety of the NFC North, including Chicago, Tampa, the Rams, the 49ers if they stay really healthy, and Seattle. I'm not a big Sam Darnold believer. I like Sam Darnold. I think that he, in the right system, Sam Darnold can do what he did last year. I still think ultimately you can't win it all with Sam Darnold. But the NFC is deeper than the AFC. The AFC is Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. Now, will Cincinnati be healthy and take a step up defensively and be a contender? You know, what does Houston look like? Are they going to, you know, have we seen what Houston is? They've got to improve their offensive line, and they traded Tunsil to D.C. What are the Chargers like? What's Denver like? But the NFC is really tough, man. I mean, Washington, Philly, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, Tampa, the Rams. You got a list of teams that are going to be legitimate contenders for the NFC title. And you know what happens in those situations. Comes down to how healthy do you remain? And do you win those 50-50 games? And do you catch teams at the right time? It's not who you play, it's when you play them. Which we will find out. 2 weeks from today, we will be talking about the schedule that had been released the night before on May 14th. Joe Maloney worked for the team and was the point guy on All Stadium Matters. He's no longer with the team, but he is intimately involved in what went down and what was announced Monday. You'll hear what he thinks about the city council and the likelihood that they will pass the deal the mayor did with the team next. But first, I want to mention this. If you've never been to a rugby match, this is the one to check out. Old Glory DC is a show. Serious intensity. The game features big hits, fast breaks, nonstop action. These guys are all over the field. The hits are loud. The energy in the stands is great start to finish. This Sunday, Old Glory's back home at the Maryland Soccerplex, taking on the Utah Warriors. Kickoff's at 2 p.m., and it's Kids Day. It's a great day for the whole family. Inflatables, face painting, games, post-game autographs with the players. It's an incredible experience for the kids and the adults. By the way, one of those players played basketball for me. Hell of an athlete. Owen Sheehy is a really good player for Old Glory. I don't know if he's their best player because I haven't followed the team, but I'm rooting for Old Glory. Add in the weather Sunday, and you've got the perfect setup for an incredible Sunday outside. Whether you're a longtime rugby fan or just looking for something different and exciting, this is it. The hits are real, the action never stops, and the crowd makes it feel like a party from the moment you walk in. College man, rugby players, they threw great parties, the rugby team did. Get your tickets for Sunday now at oldglorydc.com. That's oldglorydc.com. Great rugby, great weather, and a great time for the whole family. Old Glory DC. Let's scrum together.